This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bigger income, bigger outcome. That's the mantra in the world of highly paid executives. But does it hold up? What's the link between money, motivation, and performance? The relationship is seen here in the Yerkes-Dodson curve. Turns out that money only improves performance in basic jobs, those which are underpaid or where money really makes a meaningful difference with living expenses. The ego lives at extremes. At the other end, power and status defocus from performance. For smart jobs where complex skills and individual quality is valued, too much money defocuses a person. They literally move their meaning for work from doing a good job to earning more money. Why? The ego is driven by status and power and victory. It's always more powerful than the intellect. To get more performance from these folk, you need more than money. You need meaning, purpose, and other things tied to the job itself. There are exceptions. For some people in unpleasant and tiresome bloodsport industries like consulting, M&A, bankruptcy, and so on, it's all about making ruthless or unpopular decisions or doing work that isn't really meaningful. So they'll turn up and do a great job, but it's because they're either psychopaths or they keep a higher goal in mind. Suck it up, make a lot of money, and leave in a few years with a big pot of cash. Works for them. For all the rest of us, you need to know two things. Point one, commitment beats motivation. Point two, to help the people, first help the person. Point one, motivation is unreliable. It's an emotion. That's ego. It's not sustainable, it's exaggerated, it's variable, and it's distorted. You always imagine more than you can achieve, and then you decay. That's why gyms tie you into membership by direct debit or for a whole year. They know you're too ambitious. Sober, daily commitment is from the center. It's about turning up to do the work regardless of emotions and motivations. The tortoise always beats the hare. Point two, help the person, not the people. Well-beating teams treat people like individuals. Everyone has differences in what makes them go. Tap into those things individually. But it's not so hard. Everyone has a formula. Look at the well-being matrix again. Every person has levers in there. Get with the person and help them lift up at least two of these in a way that they see fit. The key is to make their strengths bigger and overlook their weaknesses. Give them autonomy, permission to make their decisions by trial and error. Give them purpose, to find out why they really want to do a good job. Whatever their answer is, celebrate that. Make it huge, it validates their purpose. Give them joy and mastery, time and resources to find joy and do their own thing. The best teams allow people 20% of their time to do exactly what they want. Learning, fitness, anything. The data is clear. Do that and they'll do a better job in the remaining 80% than they would have done with 100% of the time before. And they'll stay with you too. Give them attention and connectedness. Make their monthly reviews a genuinely two-way street. These people make the team and not the other way around. They will energize and improve things way better than any amount of top-down vision crap. Now you have a living, breathing organization where people's strengths come to work. It's not a dead machine where people have no real individual identity. You probably know about all this in some vague way, deep down, but now you have the science and the theory to prove it. Implement it now, or else you'll be no better than the guy who studied how to ride bikes but never got out and rode one.